I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berwyn Mayor and Council for Monday, August 22nd, 2016. And it's been our long-standing tradition for many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of July 25th.
Move to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve by Councilmember Boyas. The minutes as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Let the record show that the vote was 4-0 and that Councilmember Brittingham is not in attendance.
At this moment.
At this moment, yeah. He usually lets us know he can. Okay. The reason for the executive session was under two different sections of the Maryland Open Meetings Law. One was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. And second, to consult our counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Next, C is approval of the regular session minutes.
Move to approve.
And we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes as prepared. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Same vote for the C. And I'll just take it for granted that if it's 4-0, you've got it. Okay. And ladies and just in case you don't know, this is Kelsey Jensen. She is our new administrative assistant for everybody. It just makes it real simple. And this is your first council meeting, but she's been here a couple weeks. And so far, hasn't gotten into any serious trouble that I know. So, welcome. Next is a new letter of the latest, greatest, revised edition of a letter that I first drafted almost a week ago. And I've just given you the newest, and I'm going to read it to everybody. I want to let you know why I came with a new revised edition. We have been told and heard, and you know how it is in a small town, that the Bay Club was considering a campground and that they were very close to going to the Worcester County Board of Zoning Appeals because the property is located in the county. First, we were told in September. And then, just about the time I was drafting this, I was told, no, it won't be until October. Well, since then, since I drafted it, I've contacted, first heard through the county in a couple different ways, but informally. And today, I got a call from Hugh Cropper, the fourth, an attorney who represents Carl Freeman & Associates, who own the Bay Club Golf Course, and he basically said, this is way premature. We haven't even decided what to do with the property yet. Yeah. He said, that's one of the options they're considering. He said, considering others. And realistically, he said, please make a note that Councilman Brittingham made his usual very impressive thing. So now we have all council members in attendance. I'm just explaining why we have a new version of the letter concerning the Bay Club, and instead of being addressed to the Worcester County Commission, it's addressed to Hugh Cropper, the attorney for Carl Freeman. Basically, it's that the information that we have gathered, which is simply not accurate, there's a number of things about it. He said it would be hard to come up with information since they haven't made the decision. But they will. But they're not. It's not like they've set a deadline. They want to consider different alternatives. And I'm going to read you word for word the letter that I'm going to ask approval from the council, just so everybody can be on the record and we all know where it stands. Because they understand, too, that it's in very close proximity to the western border of town. And based on previous, workings with those folks, and all, I have no reason to believe that they won't stand behind everything they say. And here's the letter, and it says, addressed to Hugh Cropper IV, subject possible redevelopment of the Bay Club. Dear Mr. Cropper, I understand from a phone conversation with you earlier today that the owner of the Bay Club Golf Course, Carl Freeman and Associates Incorporated, is in the process of evaluating possible redevelopment of the golf course property just west of Berlin, but has not made a final decision on options under consideration. Regardless of whether future plans are considered in the town of Berlin or solely in Worcester County, the Berlin Mayor and Council has an interest in any option for the Bay Club property development because of the property's close proximity to our municipality's western border boundary. In our conversation today, you pledged to make a presentation at an open session of the Berlin Mayor and Council at such time as the owners of the property have made a decision on what kind of development they wish to seek for approval by the town or the county as the plans require. You were very clear to note that the Berlin Mayor and Council will receive a presentation about any proposed redevelopment plan for the Bay Club prior to any procedural filings with either the county or the town by the property. We appreciate your client's understanding of the importance of any future development of the Bay Club to the citizens of the town of Berlin. Thank you for your assistance in this matter. That's the letter I propose, and what I'm asking is for the council's approval of the letter so that we can put it in the mail tomorrow and they'll have it on record.
Move to approve.
There's a motion by Council Member Boyas to approve the proposed letter to Hugh Cropper IV. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, thank you very much. And hopefully, let's face it, I'm hoping we'll have some ideas at some time. I'm just not expecting it to be right away. They're like everybody else. They're still in summer mode, trying to take care of all the things people have to do in the summer to make a living. Next, number three, is a motion to approve 2016-35, which is a contract with EA Engineering, EA Engineering Science and Construction, and the modification of the contract we already had. Ed, are you going to take the lead on this?
Steve Lemasters is here substituting for Darrell. Darrell's actually out of town, so.
Okay, good. Darrell's Kate. Good to have you.
Good evening.
We haven't seen you for a little while. But yes, if you would just kind of summarize the necessity and why you're making this request for the modification.
Sure, absolutely. Again, Stephen Lemasters with EA Engineering here in Ocean Pines. The contract modification is to cover construction inspection services for the two Hudson Branch projects, the culvert and the offline wetlands, in addition to some grants and easement paperwork for the William Street project, and also some design funds for the for the Graham Grice Nelson Avenue stormwater design.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
This is a substantial, $147,000, and I know we've been working on these projects for several years now, probably 3, 4, 5 years. Am I right, Jane?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I thought that these fees were part of the original contracts that we had to do stormwater management projects, that the inspection fees were also part of the contract and were a line item or not?
No, they were not.
Was the original, I get that. It's been so long. Was the original idea for the inspection being one of the responsibilities of EA?
Yes.
Well, how is that supposed to work? Originally,
yes, we just assumed that was not included as a line item in the original list for the design. It is my understanding that it is grant eligible, though, since we have close to $2 million that have been awarded to the town, that the construction management and inspection is covered under the grants.
Okay. All right, so at least that's what you understand. And let's say sit down. Mary Bowen is extremely experienced and very, very qualified in many areas. But she is the grants lady for the town of Berlin, and has been. And she, her husband is recovering from an illness. That's why she's not here tonight. Is there a reason why this is here at this time? Is it because of the beginning of the Hudson Street?
Because the construction is already begun.
So an inspection needs to start.
It's
hard.
My question is, you know, something $147,000, I just think going forward that we should bid this out, you know, and not just assume that the engineer that's doing the job automatically. That's quite a bit of money. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, maybe Natalie could say, but I do know that we do a lot of work with EA. This is just probably a small part of the whole package, and I just think,
it is, but at the same time, my understanding, it's reimbursable through the grant. So it's part of the whole entire program when we apply initially and we award the grant. So I don't think the whole total amount will be allocated to the full extent. So this portion is a part of inspection. So it's a part of a project. And if additional funds will be needed, then we will apply to be reimbursed for it.
But you know, I'm glad that, you know, it is grant eligible, but that's another, you know, just because it's being paid for by a grant, you know, we should watch and use our grant dollars wisely.
Well, we did have to go out for requests for qualifications initially for the stormwater engineering firm, and it was always the intention that the stormwater engineers would also do the construction inspections because they were the most qualified. We went through the vetting process, and it's required by CDBG, and that you have a RPR on site.
So, you're saying the RFQ, the original RFQ for the overall project, also requested qualifications for inspection services?
It was a total yes.
But we all have a guarantee that the grant is going to be approved, right?
No, and it's sitting in the bank.
It's been part of that big grant that we got from creating the stormwater.
Right.
So it's already approved.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's been sitting in the bank. The permitting process is what took forever.
Surprise, surprise.
So what are we doing tonight?
We would like you to approve the $147,000, which does encompass all four tasks. That's a great to Flower Street, yes. Am I correct on that, Steve?
It's really limited to three additional. The second task isn't included in the contract.
It doesn't include Weston Abbey, because that's about one, right?
Correct.
Does anyone have any other questions? Because it makes sense. I mean, it's been so long ago. I'm glad you all can remember all this. I obviously remember getting set up the stormwater, coming up with the series of projects, trying to prioritize how they should be done, and citizen input in the engineers, I think we come up with a logical thing. But it did take, about a year or longer? Not just a year, but a year longer to get permits.
It was 3 years ago that we established the stormwater, July 2013. So
that's where we applied for.
Right, that's right. That's right. And then obviously that process took some time, probably 9 months, okay. just to get the monies in place and then design. And here we are, moving forward.
We just had a bit of rain event this week too. Did everything hold up and work the way it's supposed to?
Well, this project is pretty big. They're not going to be in and out. It's a 60-day construction schedule, and that's barring any bad weather.
Right.
So, but they are moving a tremendous amount of dirt back there. It looks completely different already.
Already. Well, does anyone have any other questions for either Steve or Masters or Mary Jane?
When are they starting the Nelson Avenue? That's the district I have to talk to
Steve.
Yeah. Well, I was just out there today and talking to some of the neighbors, and obviously there's been issues there for years.
Yeah.
We are they've already noticed some diminishment of issues, and hopefully these opening up the Flower Street culvert. I mean, I know it's a mile away, but if that's backing up, it eventually, you know, the water has nowhere to go. So it is, it will give them some relief. It's not going to, you know, they're still going to have issues, and we will be working on that task force. But it didn't make sense to start upstream. We had to work downstream and work our way back.
And that was an interesting part. The citizens recognized on their own through those series of meetings that there was no, it, obviously, like anything else, that when there's an improvement to the town, everybody wanted to start in their backyard first, right? That's normal. Totally understandable. But once people understood how this worked, they realized that it didn't make sense to start in the west, basically make improvements and build a dam, then go to the next, a little farther east, build another dam. Basically, all you'd be doing is just, you know, creating, moving the most serious flooding. And by this, at least the way it sounds like it's going to work out, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, is that by starting in the east Berlin, the easternmost part of Berlin where the ground is, the soil is lowest, is that will immediately help the drain stop flooding there, you know, unless there's 1,000 years. But then it also will relieve the flooding upstream, including Nelson Street area. Won't make it perfect yet, or if that's the big. But then the next phase will make it a little better. And by the time it gets to the end, the only people it should be even affected, and it shouldn't be as bad as it has historically been, are the people to the westernmost part of the community. But it should be getting better, am I correct?
Yes.
As each phase goes into place. I do have a question, because I just honestly don't remember. It's been so long. Assuming, are we all permitted now for the entire project, or do we have to keep going back section by section? I mean, for each of these phases.
We are permitted for the Flower Street culvert and the offline wetlands, obviously. It's under construction. We are nearly permitted for the William Street culvert as well. We're still in design for the Graham Grice.
Okay. So, and would you say that, is that, and I know you can't, it's like playing the horses.
Mm-hmm.
You think you got a winner, and then, you know, you move on. So here... Is it reasonable to expect that we'll get the permitting for that phase, Graham, Grice, and Nelson, before we can actually get to the building phase? Is that too much to look for?
No, I don't think that's too much to look for, no.
And, again, not put too much of a target on it. Do you have a estimate, or a reasonable estimate, as to when the next couple phases may go into play, considering the weather?
William Street, we're estimating it to be permitted probably early to mid-fall.
Okay.
Into construction winter, if possible. And as far as the design for Graham, Grace, and Nelson, I can't say.
Okay. Just, if you don't know, you don't know.
Sure.
And we'll be the last time I'll discuss it.
Sure.
And just want to let you know, it would be really nice to you, because it's a Darwin meeting. And we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any questions regarding that? This is great news, by the way. It's kind of like you don't have to hold your breath anymore. Do we have a motion to approve the additional product? Proposal that increase the amount for the EA Engineering Science and Construction for Management and Inspection Services for these stormwater improvements at $147,173.09.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion to approve the modified proposal to EA Engineering made by Council Member Pennell. All members of All council members in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next, we'll have a departmental report, starting with Finance Director Natalie.
Good evening, everyone. Just a quick update on our
Tyler Silkworth Progress is still moving through implementation of billing and financials, and we're entering in the final stage of another additional module that we purchased for miscellaneous receivables. That will include regular billing for miscellaneous bills like business license, brass cutting, etc., for any services that electric department performs or water department or public works, HOLA fees, things of all that miscellaneous nature. As well, this module will include the property tax. The property tax received the file and the information and the calculations are done on behalf of the county. And then we just receive the file, we distribute through the accounts, and we send the property owners bills, and then we collect the property tax, the town of Berlin property tax. So this module will combine the receivable, miscellaneous, and the property tax. And it started August the 15th, and we're in the phase of just submitting our existing information, and they will be mapped into the Tyler system.
What is your expectation for that particular part?
It should take about approximately a month for us to check and balance both ending and beginning balances, and then I'm hoping November written voices should be coming out from the Tyler software. Last week we've printed completely, totally with no logics whatsoever, billing invoices for utilities, for all of the utilities, and we mailed out. We haven't heard any negative comments. People are interested in actually reviewing the graphs, and the bar scanner code opt up on the bill is very useful. When a customer comes in and have invoice utility bill in hand, it's very easy just to scan it and the information populates. So it eliminates the human error of typing the account or searching by name or searching by the property location. It's very convenient. Online services working well as well. There's a little feature out there that's very useful. We can see how many people logged in at one time, and we can see how many new users access it. So I'm going to allow a couple of months to pass by, and then I'll be able to print a graph that will show the usage of actual citizens of Berlin who are actually accessing online services and paying their bills.
Maybe that'll encourage other folks.
So for right now, it's not really useful because it's only a couple of months. Meanwhile, the audit is coming September the 12th, so we're working on reports and right now taking off the inventory and checking on all the capital assets that we have for all departments, making sure everything's in place and getting ready for September 12th. That's all I have.
Congratulations. That was a big thing to print out, the new bills.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not a final. It's still working through and finding things that we need to learn and work and improve, but it's a work in process and in progress.
It's nice to see it work though.
Yes, absolutely.
Bills.
Yes. I would encourage you to consider when you get to that point where you're ready for the more people to use the online services to maybe work with Mary and maybe have a show and tell article that refers maybe to something on our website or town website.
Absolutely.
At that time. But, rush it, but that where she sees it coming, and there's always the last minute stuff that might be something that you can kind of work into.
Sure.
Great. That's good news. Thank you. All right. Next is Water Resources Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. As I said, that the construction of the offline wetlands has begun, and pretty impressive. I would suggest that everybody go take a look at it at some time. There are some safety precautions in place because that's where the children play. So we put a 6-foot fence up there so that there's no chance of them entering into the construction area whatsoever. That was an added add-on because of our concern for proximity to the Head Start. The contractors are on site. Do the jack and bore for Arby's and Royal Farms underneath 50. That's going to be quite a challenge for them.
on a lot of utilities in that area. So that should be done by the end of the week. They're trying to get it done before the school starts because it's right there by Steve Decatur High School. Dollar General is connected to water and sewer, and we're getting ready to run water and sewer to the police site, police station site.
So you feel that everything's pretty much on schedule, particularly with the Dollar General and the other projects out there?
Yep, cannery's just about done. I had a headache with one of the storm ponds, but even that's come along now. They turn a corner.
I hope that town, I don't know how to say this, but I hope the town pays special attention to Canterbury Village because they've been hauling something out of there and hauling something in there. They start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's from the storm pond.
I'm
it's a gravel wetland, really, but right now, and with all the rain we've had, they pump it out and it fills back up again. And the whole concept is to get at least 2.5 feet of the gravel, and then you put the pea gravel, and then you put the mulch on top, and there shouldn't be, on a regular rain event, you shouldn't see any water sitting there. On a higher rain event, you will see some water, but it will very quickly dissipate down.
I just don't want to be set up here 6 months from now, to a year from now, saying it's the town's responsibility to correct something that's not been done right.
And NDE is still right on this, right?
It's NDE. NDE has been out there quite a bit. Yes, they have.
Okay. But I mean, but basically, aren't they the ones that ultimately, between you and NDE, are you the ones that give the final?
NDE okay. Comes and inspects to make sure that nothing's being done incorrectly, but ultimately EA will sign off on the, because they approve the design for the stormwater and that it's built the way it was approved.
Okay.
That's one reason I mentioned when we started that new project, by Steve Decatur. That community doesn't want any dump trucks, because we're dealing with so many dump trucks right now. From the time they started up until now. I'm talking about dump trucks after dump trucks.
It's a caravan.
It is. It makes you feel, when I stand in my yard and work in my yard, it makes you feel like they're doing something that's not right. To me, now I'm not no engineer, but anybody that works on a project that long and that many dump trucks going in and out, it worries me a little bit.
But I did tell you this, one of the things that I actually went out there a few weeks ago, and the developer of NDE was there, and the construction manager was there, and it was not cursing or anything, it was tense, right? So as usual, I tried to get everybody like nothing to talk. And I think what basically the difference is that construction folks feel that all of this work should have been required to be done prior to any of the housing people. Now, that's not what they want to get. They said that normally in other places they get the stormwater ponds done.
The groundwork is all done, yeah, right? Right before a house is even set. All the infrastructure, the roads,
and an agency
done.
Which is not affiliated with the town said that all that had to be done afterwards. So quite frankly, yeah, it's just, you know, I thought, go work it out. But just make sure it gets done. And again, re-emphasize it. I agree with Chuck. We don't want to do it a second time. And we'll live through this experience, and like I said in the previous meetings, we learn from it, and we need to find out why that decision was made above the town level, because it just doesn't make any sense.
But going back to Rory's question, that's EA engineering when they're inspecting that the ponds and all have been built to specs per, that's their job. So that should give us some comfort that they're not going to sign off on it, nor is the MDE, until everything is absolutely correct the way it is supposed to be.
Right. And then that's just acceptance. The ponds, any of the infrastructure that will be turned over to the town will still be subject to 2-year warranty.
2 years.
2 years. So, and actually the roads, if you can remember, they added some filler in there because they were getting a hard time, they weren't able to get compaction, so the mayor and council voted to allow them to add this concrete in there. So that's actually under warranty for 5 years because it's just something new, and we weren't very comfortable with just saying yes and then having it turned over to us.
We have to watch the clock, 24 months.
And Mr. Mayor, could I add one thing? Jane and I have talked about this before. It's just escaping her that the public works agreement that they signed with the town, the stormwater ponds and stormwater features are not our responsibility. They will not be turned over to the town. So to answer Mr. Brigham's question, should they fail, then that's MDE to chase them forever and to make sure it gets. And at the same time, Jane's point about the bonding, if MDE couldn't get anywhere with them, Chase, we still hold the bond that would pay for that work. So it wouldn't have to come, the bond is there so that it wouldn't have to come out of town funds.
That's good to know.
That was addressed in the public works agreement. Yeah.
That's the way that the design is. Land's low to start with.
So we'll hold on to the bond for five years for the road as much as needed until they pass the final inspections. The bond is basically locked in the safe box in my office, and we release them upon fully completed work and warranty and inspections.
And that comes across the dais because I know we voted on some of those before, like the Decatur Farms and stuff.
We have that testimony that it's not just a sign off, it's a lot of bodies.
And going back to what David said, I would hate to be a builder and have the MDE looking for me, right? Where that's a lot of leverage.
They keep it pretty stiff.
Won't build anything else.
It's a pretty stiff watch on it, more than ever.
No, thank you. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. 517 Bay Street, which is Bay Terrace Apartments. It's a company that's basically renovating all the apartment buildings there. The first set of buildings, which is closest to the office, they installed a new electric service. They're responsible for the electric service from the transformer to the building because it's considered multi-dwelling. They installed a new electric service from the transformer to the first building, installed the meter gang, and re-energized the service. And basically, they have an entire new electric service for the first building, and then they'll move on to the second set. Also, with various locations, we've been working on tree trimming. Dollar General, the transformer's been set for that. The secondary's installed, and the primary to feed the transformer. We're just waiting for the electrical inspection before we energize the service. They wanted me to go ahead and energize it without the inspection, and I told them I couldn't do that. But they wanted me to. And then also, heat shaving at the generation plant, we've generated a total of 19 times.
That's
a new record. In 6 years that I've been here, the most I've seen is 13, and we've ran 19 times so far.
And just to have a little bit of, when do you usually, is it early September?
About the first or second week in September.
Okay, so we've got some more days than a while ago.
And also at 107 Franklin Avenue, we've replaced the utility pole there that was rotten. And then today I met with the site superintendent and the developer of the new Twister site. We discussed where the transformer was going to go to feed the building and who was responsible for, you know, as far as payment for service and that type of thing. That's about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Daly.
Good evening, everyone. I believe this is the first time we've met in August. And we have an opportunity to publicly thank everyone for our national night out. We believe it was a very successful venture. We definitely have had a lot of assistance for town staff, and we want to go ahead and thank Jane for all her support and all her folks and every other department that actually assisted us. But we want to go ahead and just really chime out and say the faith-based community came out. We added actually three religious institutions this year, Buckingham Presbyterian, it was Bachelor of Christ, and the First Baptist, got them all. And again, each brought their own special touch to the program. This is a program that when we initiated the first year, we spent over $1,500. This year, I'm proud to say, Berlin Police Department spent $27.
Wow.
When you have community coming together, bringing the resources, bringing the different games and support, again, it'll only have a shine on the community itself. So we're very proud of the community coming together on that day and throughout, you know, the whole year. I'd like to also thank everyone for the support for our annual golf tournament, which happened on Friday. It was our 23rd. And we get to go ahead and again say this is the most teams that we've actually had in a whole decade. So, again, the support that we as a police department have been getting from the community makes me feel really proud. And we have to again say thank you to the community and all the people that made it actually a success. We are preparing this week to go ahead and translate those folks that are supporting us to go ahead and give back to the community. Berlin Youth Group is going to Gratisfield and Del Mar again this year. We're taking 30 young folk, and we're going to have one of the officers actually drive one of the vans with Whistle Youth, and we're going to provide them with lunch at Del Mar Pizza. So, again, we're very proud to go ahead and do that part for the community. And we also plan to go ahead and do a back-to-school program. A little different this year, but we're going to really have to partner with Whistle Youth, and we're going to try to go ahead and fill all the gaps, because a lot of programs have already started out with backpack programs and everything else. We want to make sure that no kid is left out there without the proper things they need to go ahead and start a school year. Last not least, we're getting prepared for Jeep Week 2016. It's going to be a little bit different this year. It's going to be 3 days. So we're preparing and changing our schedules and manpower to go ahead and make it a safe event for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just the community policing concept you guys have used. That is a great example.
Thank you.
Planning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Since we met last, the 10th of this month, both the Historic Commission and the Planning Commission met on the project that was proposed for 15 Yay Street, you know, the empty lot over there, and they approved the mixed-use building for Mr. Borsak. So that'll be something that I would think permitting might be this fall for that building. And it was a nice concept, you know, retail down and apartments up as we have throughout the downtown. And when that, you may recall when you rezoned that, it had been placed in the Historic Commission, District Commission also. So, yeah, it's also historic and part of the B1 Town Center District. So another good addition down there. On the 11th, we had two pre-construction meetings, one for the new police department building with the architects, the engineers, and the contractor. And we also had one that afternoon with the Ocean's East project, the parking complex across from Stephen Decatur High School. That one's not as far along. I don't think the contractor's quite ready for that one yet due to scheduling. Both of those should be permitted shortly, I would say within the week, that will be fully permitted. And this Thursday, I'll be attending a meeting down in Snow Hill. The county has a committee on their commercial development standards and guidelines. And in particular, this Thursday, they want to discuss the alignment of Samuel Bowen Boulevard, which is a service road that links up like the Walmart area and Seahawk Road. So I've been after that, and when they were going to be discussing that, I wanted to be included, so I'll be going down Thursday for that. And as Taylor alluded to, the Twisters project finally is underway. You see, if you've been by there, if you go by there, you see that they're doing the site work. They're doing the, you know, they're leveling off the site to begin construction. So I would think the next inspection I'll get would be footer inspections, and then the foundation, and on we go.
Dave, in that meeting you mentioned about the Sam Bowen Boulevard alignment. Is that a sort of exchange ideas and things thing, or is it, are they going to...
They have a committee. It's headed by Ed Tudor, you know, the director of the Department of Development Review and Permitting. Several members of their planning commission, their zoning staff, their planning and permitting staff, also some stakeholders. There's a realtor involved, I believe. There's one of the attorneys involved, people who would be involved in the developing community. They've been looking at some of their architectural standards. They have them in place, but they were tweaking them. So I've been talking to Ed Tudor several times, and I wanted to be involved when we got to this point because it had a big impact on Berlin. And they just hadn't got there so far. They've been meeting several times this year. I think they intend to meet monthly, but they haven't always met monthly. This one finally got on their agenda. So.
And this is something we just haven't talked about lately. But I think the key, if there's something additional or something different, please speak up. What our biggest concerns are, where the Sandborn Boulevard, the service road, actually meets Seahawk Road, and where the traffic will be entering and leaving the Sandborn Boulevard. And also its alignment through the existing and potential properties immediately behind the Harley-Davidson. It's almost, I know that all these people are very responsible people, but we can't have something where we've got this cowtail or something, and we've got to make all that work. And then just imagine, we want to work, but we also, if it was their responsibility, just ask, you know, what would you want if you were the one that were going to be responsible? Now, quite frankly, again, as I know Barry's opinion, Barry, I think in the long run, down the road, we're going to be very happy that we have the alternate zoning authority and development authority for that area. Because, quite frankly, we will, regardless of our various roles, consider the immediate neighborhoods, our guests traveling through, and the schools. Not that the county wouldn't care, but it's... These are all very important in town. So I just want to make sure that you understand you have our backing there. We know you'll keep us informed. And I think we're dealing with very reasonable and informed people. But this is not an afterthought as far as we're concerned. It's kind of like this is where it's all going to end up. And we just want to make sure it's a plan that makes as much sense as we can to humanly create. Okay?
We want to make sure all that caution that we get with that project of bringing traffic to Flower Street, wherever they bring that sound over the Boulevard, it doesn't affect our streets.
We're already up.
20-some school buses morning and night.
Stone trucks.
We don't want anything else.
I think the impression I got when they redid the intersection there of Seahawk and Route 50 last summer, and we're going to have it widened now because of this project that we have approved. I would think that's going to be, I'm going to try and make it part of the discussion, wherever Sandwood Boulevard or Bowling Boulevard comes out, that it goes to that intersection, because that was SHA's intention. And that the Samuel Bowen is just it's a parallel road to take pressure off of Route 50, in the busiest times of the year, like now when everything's eastbound on a Saturday morning or a Friday evening.
May I make a suggestion? Of course, obviously, run through it ahead, because it's his, but maybe if you could suggest me acting as a liaison to make sure the state highway is represented, because they also are. I mean, you talk about big buck impact, and we can't assume until the legislature stops fighting about rather places that have more people have a much higher priority in getting funded than places that are smaller, like Berlin.
Yeah.
Until they resolve that, which is a very important fight, I think we want to make sure that we have somebody from the Department of Transportation in these meetings. So we all know it's screwed.
I won't swear that they don't.
I'm just saying, but just be wise. I know we don't.
Yeah.
I would think with the schools being there that the Maryland Department of Transportation would really...
Oh, I think they're worried. It's not the Maryland Department of Transportation that's got me worried. It's the legislature. And not our people. It's not here on the Eastern Shore. But we're, you know, the way things are going is like, hey, your ranking, how much money you get is based on how many people live in a particular area. Well, I want to point out that when the system that was flawed, it is going to end up being 50 years to get a highway built from the Delaware Line, 113, U.S. 113, to Pocahontas City down to Virginia. 50 years. That's
ludicrous
and absolutely unacceptable. And now there's the potential that it will be harder to get funds for transportation needs, and it won't be based on anything other than how many people live in that population. And what can make people aware, because I mean, this stuff, we know it's happening, and hopefully, you know, there's all kinds of media out there, and when the legislature convenes next year, please pay attention, please contact our Eastern Shore legislators are with it, they're on it. But there's only a handful of them compared to the overwhelming majority, which are obviously represented in Baltimore, Washington, Florida. And this is scary. This is very scary from a safety standpoint as well as anything else. Okay, I'm sorry. But thank you. Ivy?
Who else?
Please skip.
Oh,
Jeff? I have just one brief thing. The week before last, I had folks down from Chesapeake and Boyers, workers' comp. They did their on-site mess stop on it. There were no issues with that. And what I will have for you this week is do a short summary of what they did. And what they do when they come in, they take a look at your claim for the last 12 months. And then you project payroll for the next year. That's how you pay for your workers' comp. And they compare that payroll with actual, because they hear nails happen. If there's an overage, you get money back. If there's a shortfall, then your premium goes up a little bit. So, but it was a good audit. I always enjoy doing them come in, because they do good work.
Thank you. Thank you for your work doing as Laura Shadow. Laura is in the Philippines, as many of you may know, on the State Department Exchange Program. Last week, any problems we could come up with, we could create the name Englehart, and now it's back in Jeff's lab. But I appreciate one thing, all the department has done. You all are stepping up, like you always do. So, there hasn't been any crisis, and it's certainly not because of the lack of attention.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. To piggyback on Laura in the Philippines, she and I have been corresponding, and I'm sharing her blog posts and some of the photos that I've been taking on Facebook and Twitter and tagging ICMA, because that's part of her tour of duty that she does have to publicize. So if anybody's interested on what Laura's doing, you can read about it on Facebook and in her blog. Just a few things. Actually, about 12 things. I remember them. I'll make it quick. First, I am starting the work on two different grant opportunities. One is called the Main Street Program Grant, which is only available for the 26 designated Main Street communities, and that's administered through DHCD. So I'm starting to work on that, and then along with that is the TAG grant, which stands for the Technical Assistance Grant, also administered through DHCD, so I'm just starting to work on both of those. Those are due on September 15th, so I'm getting a nice early start on that. I've been having several meetings about the upcoming Crab Feast on Saturday, October 1st, which will be sponsored by Ocean 98. It's looking to be like a really nice event. We're going to have live music now, and raffles and one for all by Hoopers. Next is I'm still getting applications for facade grants. I'm still waiting on some applications that are due to me soon. also, I'm starting, we've been working on Christmas believe it or not, we do need to get some things going for Christmas, so we're having some meetings about that. What we're going to be offering this year is a Berlin Christmas shopping tote, so stay tuned for details on that. We're getting sponsorships for that also. Let's see, I've been assisting Andrea with Habitat for Humanity on several grant sessions that she's been writing to help her get funding for her project. So she and I have been meeting, and she'll bring her laptop into my office and I'll help her with those grants. So a lot of my time is taken up helping them also. Mindy Burgoyne with the Department of Commerce is starting the new economic development group for this, for Wicomico and Worcester County, and our first meeting is this Thursday, so we're going to be putting our heads together to figure out how to bring more jobs to these counties out here. So that's our first meeting for that is on Thursday.
And that's under which department?
Department of Commerce.
Thank you.
Mindy Burgoyne is our representative. And then, yeah, and then also the first or second week of September, I have a meeting with Jim Rapp and Dave Wilson about the preliminaries for Berlin Falls Park to get it usable and workable and to figure out what kinds of things we can do to make that park a little bit more inviting, just to start. And then also, look for two new commercials on WMDT and WRDE. They should start showing sometime in September. So we did two new commercials for that. So now we'll have Berlin commercials on all three networks. And then lastly, I want to thank you for your support letter for the Great American Main Street Award application. That was quite the doozy of an application. So thank you, Mayor and Council, for your letter of support on that. I also want to publicly thank Lisa Challenger for her letter of support, Steve and Debbie Freeney for their letter of support. We were only allowed five. I actually got more than five, and I had to pick which five I was going to use. Steve Taylor with Worcester Youth and Family wrote standing for nonprofit. And
that's it. That's all I have. Thank you.
That's it. There's a lot going on. A lot to come, right? Next, Jeff Leibowitz will give the county administrator's report. Maura had asked me to, there are three topics that she wanted me to present in the public session, but we had a meeting that was scheduled for August the 8th, as we're all aware, which did not happen. And these three topics were to be presented then. What had happened with those three topics, and they were to get the council's approval for the Community Parks and Playground grant application. And what that actually is a fixed bathroom, restroom, if you will, that would be in Stephen Cater Park that would be similar to the one that we're going to put in at Henry Park. You all apparently have approved that via, I call it proxy and email. So that was one. Two was the Hudson Branch Stormwater Project, specifically the contract award for the Flower Street culvert. And that was actually awarded to Southside Land Management. And I did have a good conversation with Darrell last week. I was on vacation here, so things are blurred, but last week, because there were two bidders. One bidder, the price was significantly high, and then Southside was significantly low. Darrell did his due diligence and reached out to the references, and there were a number of other municipalities that had utilized the Southside land management organization. They were very favorable in their references. So Darrell informed that he feels very confident that the work that Southside will do will meet the standards.
Okay.
And then lastly, the Public Works Water Resources Department purchased a new John Deere tractor. I'm trying to get this straight. The tractor that they had was in Public Works, which was a relatively new tractor. It would not accommodate the sidearm attachment for ditch bank cutting. So money was in the budget in the water resources side for them to buy a new tractor. So what they did, they took that tractor, and then the monies for that were allocated, and now a new tractor has been purchased for Public Works to use the sidearm attachment.
Good, because I mean that has always been a challenge, and now that we've done all these other improvements to stormwater, keeping this the areas where we're responsible, because obviously there's areas where the private property owner is responsible, or in some cases the homeowners association. Boy, that's going to be something to deal with for a few years until everybody realizes what side of stormwater ditch it deserves. But I know that's going to be really hard.
And I know Dave Wheaton in particular, he actually was in last weekend to work on Saturday out at Grumman Falls Park doing the boundaries of all the lagoons. And he told me, he said, that new machine is a grass cutting machine. So he's tickled death with it.
Excellent. I just wanted to say that I know Councilmember Burrell was really interested in the public bathrooms, getting rid of the porta potty. And those bathrooms that were approved were $106,660, and $96,000 of that came from a grant. So the town's only going to add $10,660 into those bathrooms. And I think it's a good point to make that that's a very good use of grant money to get nice bathrooms in our public parks that are really heavily used.
That's a very, very good point to make. I appreciate you bringing that up. There's two things that as follow-up to that that we mentioned earlier, was that we are now going to be applying for a grant for Stephen Cater Park. And again, it's the same kind of relationship. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed, but it has been our experience that if you do what you're supposed to do with the grants in a timely manner, don't put the money, let it sit around, it does you well and puts you in a good place for the next application. And so I think that this makes perfectly good sense. Also, I think both porta potties serve their needs, but the usage of the parks kind of makes the porta potties obsolete, particularly during special events and
for young children.
For young children, absolutely. So it's kind of like evolution. We've grown up to the point where we need some permanent restrooms, and like I say, the overwhelming percentage of costs will be paid through that agency. Is the agency we're getting that grant from? Does anybody remember? Somebody knows.
Yeah,
I
think it's
the
Water Resources.
Community Parks.
Okay. So we project, is that under project group?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And lastly, Mayor and Council, I need your approval for a requisition number 0047, and it's for LED Christmas lights, 5,000 feet of C7 LED lights. Anything you can add on that there?
Yes. These are basically for replacement lights for the ones that are in the trees in the downtown area. Right now, we buy the 300-foot length little mini lights from like Walmart. Well, they basically fall apart within a couple of months, and you have to tear them out and put brand new ones in. These are what's called cool white LED lights. They're C7, and they're actually built to be in trees, and they're warranted for up to 3 years. And they're a heavy gauge wire versus the smaller gauge wire, so they don't break apart very easy in the wind. Normally what goes wrong with these is the bulb will go out. Well, the ones we have now, if the bulb goes out, it takes out the entire string. Because it's in series, the way these are set up is if a bulb goes out, it's just one bulb goes out. It doesn't knock out the entire string that's in the tree. This is something we've already bought the LED lights for the light bulbs. We bought them about 2 years ago. And this is basically replacing lights in the trees.
Will this take care of most of the trees that are currently being lit?
It'll take care of all of them.
All of them?
Yes. And also, we made the decision this past year to leave the lights on year-round. So that was also an added thought.
These are probably more cost-effective, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And I have to say, just by pure chance, that I got a very nice compliment, not the only one, thank goodness, for the town of Berlin from some folks from the Mako Association of Counties last week. And one of the fellows said that, you know, I can't remember which official it was, it was so many, but he was from the Western Shore, I think he was in the State Senate, and he's said, he'd never been to Berlin before, but he came, ate dinner late, and then he left. He said, oh my gosh. And this was just recent. So, it's kind of a thing that one of the things to keep in mind, these kinds of amenities are affordable and doable because we have our own other towns say, oh, they could. Well, there's always some challenges with having a wedding company, but there are also some benefits. Thank you very much. Let's see what the council thinks about this.
Jen.
Very nice.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To do this, please. I like it. I think it looks great on Main Street.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion by Councilmember Williams to approve the expenditure of $12,224 for the LED, 5,000 feet of LED lights for the trees that grace Main Street. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Let's see. Yeah. Are we through?
I'm done
there. Okay. You're all through. I don't have any comments except very pleased that tonight is the first time in a long time. It seems reasonable outside. So hopefully we'll have a short meeting, but I want to make sure anybody here has a chance to talk to that we do. If we have a short meeting, maybe we want to go out there and enjoy maybe the first decent evening.
Yes, I have one thing. It's a complaint, but it's a good complaint. And I'm hoping that the newspapers will catch on this. I want everyone to imagine about $50,000 sitting in front of Ivy down there on the end of the table. Now, I want you to imagine that you own a business on Main Street. She can't give the money away. Nobody wants it. And it just baffles me that nobody wants to take advantage of these facade grants. I'd like her to expound on it just a little bit more, but it just blows my mind that we got this money. She's working her tail off to get these grants, and nobody's taking advantage of this stuff. Ivy, if you can fill in just a little bit on what they can do, how they can get in touch with you, and how this works.
Certainly. Well, first of all, when I took over the position, there was actually facade grant money left from 2013 and 2014 that needed to be used in order for us to start using the 2015 money that I just got last year. So once we use the 2013 money and 2014 money now, we have $50,000 extra. And basically what the facade grant does is I applied for a community legacy grant through DHCD, which stands for Department of Housing and Community Development. I asked them to grant the town $50,000 that I can use as an incentive to get businesses to improve their facades, whether it's paint, windows, new gutters, roof, anything that makes the appearance of their facades look better. It even works for ADA accessibility. I can match up to $10,000 for a business owner or property owner. They can combine together, or the property owner can apply, or the business owner can apply. And I can reimburse them up to $10,000 if they spend $20,000. But they don't even have to spend that amount of money. I can reimburse them for as little as $500. So what I do at the merchant meetings is I remind all the merchants, those who do attend, that to please take me up on their offer, on my offer of I want to give them money to help pay for their improvements. I've talked to several property owners, and they've all told me that they are definitely interested, but everyone's busy, and the business owners are busy.
In the merchant meeting, I don't know if it's a merchant meeting, or maybe it's a suggestion that would be practical, and maybe not. But I see, we noticed a difference because obviously we're so involved in the town. But if you might consider possibly taking some pictures that then you can display, both on the website, the Main Street website, and maybe an emergency meeting or whatever other format is appropriate so that they can see, hey, this is real, and I know they get caught up, but obviously there's a little bit of breathing, not a lot, but a little bit of breathing time between summer and then Victorian Christmas, and it's not as much breathing time used to be because of all the growth, but at nice to
get that. Actually, it's not as... I don't want Tom to make everyone think that it's... that a lot of the businesses need help. Actually, we do have quite a few that have actually taken us up on the facade grants. As a matter of fact, I approved 8 facade grants just last year in 2015. This year, October 20th, some state officials and some local politicians are coming to do a tour to see all the facades that have been improved using this community legacy money. So that's October 20th. I think I let you know about that.
Okay.
So it's I still do have about $40,000 left that I need to spend this time next year. So I am trying to get the word out to the businesses and
I'm
the property owners. And Lisa Hall, she's opening. She's with her Berlin Butcher Shop. She actually applied for a facade grant and received it.
Thank you. I think showing some pretty pictures of the actors.
It's just a form to, don't be intimidated, it's just a form to fill out and show before what you look like and what you want to look like. Ivy helps you with it.
I sit down with whoever fills out the application. I usually sit down with them and make sure that everything is correct.
It's not intimidating at all.
I'm really easy to work with.
So say you. Okay. No, that's great. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I just want to thank the chief again for National Night Out. It was a very nice night. And also, living on a coastal community, I don't know if you all are paying attention to what's going on in Louisiana, but my heart goes out to them to live with that. That's going to be a long time to cover.
Katrina Park, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better get digging.
Thank you.
Same thing. Police, tonight I had a lot of fun. Community response. It was a good night. And I think the half of the community with what's going on in the world with the police departments all over the world having all kinds of problems, and we're not having them here. Keep my fingers crossed. So,
leader.
I've got one question for Natalie. The check register that you sent us, could we get it in Excel format? Is that possible?
I'll try to see if I can import it to Excel. When you do so many cells, like the formatting, it becomes more kind of jumping at you like it's more complicated than it is. Because in PDF, it's very easier to search if you're searching for something.
Yeah.
But I definitely will try to
but
send
I can't,
it to you in Excel.
I can't manipulate the columns or how it is arranged in PDF format.
Okay, I'll take
advantage
of it and I'll
try
to do it.
Is anyone here from the public? Is anything you'd like to make any comments or questions? Don't hang on down. Just introduce yourself. Even though we all know each other for the record.
Jack Orris, ORRIS, Broad Street candidate. I just have 2 questions, really. Obviously, going around town, I'm talking to people, and I'm at a loss to explain what's going on currently with Harrison Avenue. People are asking me, is there anything that the council can tell me about it?
We'll deal with it after the town is found. Hopefully, as citizens of this town found out, we're not going to be extorted for $400,000, and it's going to create some inconvenience for a while.
Okay.
But I swear to God, we're not going to be supported for $400,000 that hell has to break over. And that's the way it is. We're not going to be taken. And I'm sorry that there's an inconvenience, but we didn't put that blockade up there. That's the other thing people have to understand. They put that on what they claim is their private property.
Right.
And quite frankly, I think in time, it will cost them business. But you know what? I tell the mayors about that. They just can't even believe it. It's something that we'll deal with it in our time. But right now, we've got other priorities. And if people don't like that, then they need to talk to the Atkins Company. Because they're the one to put up the blockade, not the town of Berlin. We've been trying to buy that property. We've offered them every dollar that it's worth. we're on the books paying $60,000, which I think is pretty steep for a little tiny piece of road. And they told us, no, we won't accept anything less than $400,000. So if you have a problem with it, if anybody else has a problem with it, go talk to them. They created the problem, not us.
Right. Well, I didn't want to give the impression that people were upset. I think they just wanted
kind of, well.
I was just approaching the council as kind of a status update, if you will, of how that was going.
Okay, sure. No, I understand.
Okay. And then my only other question, this is relatively minor. This letter that the council approved tonight, on the other side is the response from Mr. Cropper.
Mm-hmm.
So this all already happened today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is all, okay.
Yes, that's exactly why it's there, so everybody... A lot of we try to get as much into the packet, and here's something to change between when the packet was sent out Friday morning.
Sure.
So it's just kind of like, for transparency purposes, to make sure everybody knows how we got from there to here.
Okay. Because sure. This has also come up in my travels as well, so I wanted to...
Good. Excellent. No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Yes, does anyone else have any questions or comments? Yes, thank you.
Hi, just real quick.
Okay. And that's because it's recorded.
Okay.
And
I'm Sarah Rain with the Coastal Association of Realtors, and I just wanted to invite everyone. We're having a candidate forum for the Burlington Council, September 7th, 6 p.m. at 314 Franklin Avenue, Suite 106, which is our office here in Berlin. We're going to have refreshments. We're going to take questions from the audience. We invite all of the candidates to participate. And if you haven't responded to me about that, please let me know. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got a lot of room in that building. You're well attended.
Oh, great. Well, we can fit about 50 people, so.
I think you're waiting for that.
You were at the church.
That's right. Thank you. I appreciate doing that. Do we have any other questions, comments, or questions?
Mayor, Council, Mitchell David, 5 Washington Street. A couple questions for you. I'll be brief. About 8 months ago, I came in front of you and had asked a couple questions on where we were on architectural standards. So I don't know if we have moved anywhere or we're still zero, because some things are moving now, right? You have Dollar General. Mm-hmm. We got something on Bay Street. Now we're talking about possibly something on the Bay Club. And so obviously the cannery was a mistake by somebody. The citizens had to pay for the mistake, obviously, with the $70,000 hit. So I guess my question is that before we start down the road of more development, we probably need to get some architectural standards for the town.
Well, we've been asking for over 4 years.
Right.
Now, and I want to answer you, because Laura is running a point on this, and we discussed it just before she left. She's been trying to figure out a strategy that can get basically, we tried looking out in the consultant world. And what seemed to be maybe more practical and maybe even less expensive, even though that's not the key question. The key question to get the best is she has now been contacting communities that have successfully implemented architectural standards. There aren't many communities that are exactly like Berlin, because one of the things we're in general, because obviously it'll be a community discussion, and it won't be before the election, I can tell you that. Just forget about it. It's just we've got a ton of stuff we're doing. And the architectural standards that we want to make sure that they're appropriate for each neighborhood. Obviously, in a way, downtown had standards because of the historic district. But what we want to do is there are some neighborhoods that were primarily built in the immediate post-World War II period. Others were built in the late 20th century. Others are early 21st. East Berlin has its own flavor and so forth. So we want to make sure that we don't say, okay, every neighborhood has to look like every other neighborhood. But we do want standards so that someone, let's say, pick any of them, can't come in and build an Art Deco building that looks appropriate for Miami Beach, but has no place in Berlin.
Because they can at this point in time.
And it's mainly due because of one thing I know. It's hard. When I was first on council, the citizens of this town did not want us telling anybody who built anything, to do anything or not do anything. That's only been 12 years ago. I mean...
Right. I think the thing is I don't think you have to get in line of what color your window has to be, but some basic overall standards of some templates of palettes of colors or whatever else it is. I mean, something needs to be done, because the Dollar General store, while it's fine for location, is simply a pole building that was built with a brick and concrete facade. So it's really taking a pig and putting some lipstick on it, honestly. So is that what we want throughout the town? I guess that's the question, because what's going to happen is on this, and people always say, why don't we compare it to Salisbury? The issue with Salisbury, I went to Salisbury University and I own property in Salisbury, is because they didn't think about downtown, and they took all the business out of downtown, and now they're trying to get downtown revitalized again. And what's happening now is all our stuff is starting to move itself. Dunkin' Donuts is now here, which is great, but now... all the grounds and some other local coffee stores are getting hurt by that, because all the customers, we're lazy. We're going to get in the car and go to the quickest spot. So all I'm saying is you've been talking for 4 years. I asked 8 months ago, and there really hasn't been anything else going on. It might be something that might be able to be put on the front burner before election, after election, doesn't make a difference. But I don't want to come back in 8 months again.
We've got to have an administrative director here. We're trying to make sure all of our people take the vacations they're supposed to take. I mean, I don't think people have any idea how much work is being done, because we don't make a big deal about it. And I agree with you. Listen, if it had been up to us, it would have been adopted years ago. But here's the other part. It's not something, I still believe, but maybe I'm wrong, that when people who care about building, people who care about neighborhoods, and the planning and zoning, people who are actually on the planning and zoning commissions, it needs all their involvement. And folks on the planning and zoning commission took a look at it. I can't remember exactly when, and I think they said, whoa, this is over our head. This is just way over our head.
I've had a conversation with Barbara Stack, so I mean, I know where you guys have been. All right, so I'll move on to the next one.
Sure, no problem. But I agree, it is something we need to make it a higher priority. And right now, it needs to be moved up.
Because I think citizens don't understand that right now, you can pretty much put an Art Deco where you want to, as long as you meet the setback regulations and whatever else.
Not correct. The Planning Commission, we passed an ordinance where the Planning Commission reviews all development, all site plans.
You make recommendations.
Correct.
Right. And if they fit along the recommendations, they're not obligated unless it's something of the setback or they're asking for a variance. They're not asking for a variance or anything special. They meet all the other requirements of the code. You can't tell them they can't have a different type pitched roof than a flat roof.
It could not be approved for that.
Okay.
But again, it's evolution, and I agree it's evolution.
That's why we made an ordinance change about 18 months ago to that effect.
I'll come to your office web meeting then. Okay.
Great.
The second thing is we talked about countywide meetings, and that never happened in January or February when they were scheduled. And so I didn't know when we were going to have the community-wide meetings in reference to incremental growth.
Yeah, and I just put out a press release and everything else. We had so much going. I mean, there's a point where we're just still doing all the things that came from the last series.
Okay, I saw this.
Falls apart. We knew it would eventually come in place, but when it finally fell together, you can only do so many things, and we're getting ready to hire a director and manager for that part, and that has to be done very soon with the process. But you have to remember, the more work we do, we have to have be able to afford to have the people to do the work that goes along with it. And those meetings, I'll be fair, those meetings will happen this winter. The winter time is the only time people have to really give it the time to finish.
And that's fine. That's why I didn't come ask you every single month. It's been 8 months, so I'll just ask me for an update. That's all.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Hey, I don't mind, but I hope you understand that it's not done because we don't want to. But, there's only so much we can do.
Sure, I understand. And I guess the final thing is this, is that I think having the park and the bathroom is wonderful, and it's great. I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old with the parks all the time. I think what we need to understand, too, is the grant money's fine, that it's being paid majority by that, but we still have to do upkeep. We have to pay for the water. Who's going to clean the bathrooms when they're overflowing during the afternoon? I mean, so there's other things that we need to think about, that while the original cost is paid by a grant, we, the citizens, also have to pay for these things, too. So just because we get free money, nothing is free. Okay.
I think our staff would rather clean bathrooms than porta-johns.
Don't disagree. My kids would much rather use a bathroom than a porta-john. My point being is that there's a cost that we. That's exactly with every single thing that we're doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the reminders. Anyone else like to address the mayor and council about anything?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. We're going to adjourn. And thank you so much for attending and for your participation.
Initiation after initiation.
Yeah, I'm not getting here yet.
One of them did go actually.
The other one is very
How old's your daughter?
32.
She could buy a car and buy some sense.
That's actually me.
Who was the administrator to wear a dress and pants?
If I didn't know who you were, I would
have said it. Say it anyhow.
Got him off guard.
I'm off break on 2 hours sleep.
Well, I am too.
I didn't know if you were
going to do it. I worked in front of me at the store. My wife came to me because she knew I had to get up early. It was scheduled to be Saturday morning at 4 o'clock. I got a call on my way home.
You can't remember, they're coming from an environment where there's just...
To go Westernport. It's so easy. So if you went to Westernport...
Signatures.
7:30.
Lauren found a bunch of papers. You want me to just make you a copy in the morning and give it to Joanne? Or do you want it now? Okay. I'll go make you one and sign these things. So then I'll take the original, mail it, and you can copy it, or?
Yeah, well, okay. you know the mail was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.